Welcome back to the Barbershop, 216-578-0092, at GBush91 on Twitter. Hopefully, y'all having a nice, joyous Saturday. Everybody be cool out there. Stay safe. Stay out the way. Just a little bit of a breaking news. It looks like they said, Adrian Wojnarowski said the postponement of the NBA schedule is at least going to last at least 30 days. At least 30 days. So we'll be without NBA action for at least 30 days. Look out for that. But we're going to go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we're going to bring in John Costco, Pro Football Focus. How you doing?
I am doing well, staying clean, washing my hands, and ready for this whole thing, really, to be honest.
Yeah, man. Listen, you know, you can't – the great thing about it is when you're talking remotely, you really can't spread any germs, man. Remote right. Conversations is all good. So we all good, man. And so when you look at this thing, I kind of threw it out a little bit, to fans to say whether or not they were concerned to see if the NFL season, seven months away, were they a little relieved that, maybe the NFL wouldn't be, kind of postponed because, so far away. Do you think the NFL is kind of also relieved, and do you think that they have a contingency plan in place for what they're going to do, or is it so far down the line where it's not really going to affect some of the things that they got in place already?
I'm pretty sure that they have some types of contingency plans, but with the season being 4 or 5 months away or whatever it is, it's unlikely that this will last until then. By then, you're going to have, the vaccines and all the peak is going to be behind us. So, I think this will pass eventually. Sure, I think the necessary steps for what people are doing, which is canceling all the sports right now and, preventing the widespread of the virus is a good thing. But, from NFL purposes, it's obviously they're kind of lucked out that this isn't happening during the NFL season. Whereas, like in the NBA and all pretty much every other sport that's going on right now is delayed or suspended or canceled in some sort of fashion, and it might affect the start of the new year. I think that they're saying right now that there isn't any type of factor in it, and obviously, I think they're making plans if they need to, to limit. To limit things, but because they have time, they don't have to have like a quick reaction to things, and they have time to be able to monitor the situation.
And when you talk about free agency, does this really limit the GM's ability to go out and evaluate these guys, or is it just more of a thing that they're able to do remotely, able to look at the tape, and basically because they're doing it, looking at their tape and they already have those guys evaluated, is this going to slow down free agency or will free agent period be postponed because of the virus?
The one thing that would hold up the free agency period is the fact that the travel is limited right now. You're not allowed to have the one thing they do is that when they free agency opens, you hear all these reports that, this team signed this player. But it really isn't official until actually the next day when that player is flown in and taken a physical and passes his physical. So that part of the step of the process might not happen. So they might have different ways of getting around that. And, most players live in big, big cities that they might be able to go into a sports science or sports medicine facility to be able to get those physicals done. Maybe not. So that would be the one thing that would hold it up. Obviously, these teams already know all about these players that they hope to sign and all that. But it's the issue of getting those physicals, of flying those players, that's really only for like the big name players too. That it's like it would hold up on those immediate play signings and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that. I think they have that ability to, not have their team doctor perform the physical, but have a trusted member to, wherever that player lives to be able to conduct that physical. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Talking to John Costco on the Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, we found out a little more information, and we talked about last week, the last time we conversed, I think it might have been a couple weeks ago now, we talked about this tackle pool, and we talked about the guys that were available. And I think one of the reports said that Trent Williams came out and said that he wanted some pretty big money in regards to a new contract. I forget what the guaranteed money was, but it was pretty big money as far as a guarantee. Do you think that level of guaranteed money is something that will make the Browns shy away from as far as that money? Because I think when we conversed, you said you had him behind a couple of the other tackles that were available if the Browns were able to go out and get some and actually spend a little bit of money.
Well, I think my what we talked about last week, I had in terms of a 1 year, stopgap at the tackle position, I had him two behind Jason Peters. I think there's a lot of question marks with Trent Williams' ability in terms of just being healthy. I think though for him, if he's got a clean bill of health and he's a guy that can provide for you for the next 5 years, if you're looking at a 5 year option, I think he would be the best option there. But he is out looking to get like what, $20 million a year. And I don't know what the guaranteed number is, but it's a massive number. I do not perceive that the Browns would go after him with those types of numbers. I think what they need to do at that tackle position is make sure that they have somebody at left tackle that they can rely on at least for 1 year. And they're also probably going to draft somebody that, hey, this will be the guy that'll be able to replace that position. But they need to make sure that this year, everything around Baker Mayfield is great. And so that includes the offensive line. Obviously, I think the weapons are there with OBJ and Jarvis Landry and Nick Chubb and David Njoku, and they're probably going to add to that mix. And hopefully Rashard Higgins, I think, is a guy that can be really relied upon. But that offensive tackle position, Trent Williams, I think at those numbers that are being reported out there, I don't think they would go after him. They would probably go for even a 1 year older player to make sure that they're solid at that position for at least a year, and it might and then hopefully draft a player that would be able to replace them in a year.
When you look at it, you look at what this regime has done. Were you kind of surprised? I know a lot of people weren't here when they cut ties with Christian Kirksey. When you look at it, what type of player was he on film, and what were his grades as far as where you guys had him ranked as far as one of the linebacker positions when healthy? And do you believe that they could find an upgrade on the market or in free agency or in a draft that would be easily replace a guy of his caliber?
Yeah, he's a guy that I know that, you know, he was a locker room fan and a fans fan or whatever. But the thing is that when he was on the field and even when he was healthy, the past, you know, three seasons, he's not been very good. His best season in the NFL was graded out at a 69.3, and that was his second year. And that was mostly driven by his coverage grade, which was an 80.0. But every year after that, he's been below 60, and most of them have been below 50. So, this past year, obviously it's a two-game sample size. He was at a 48.3 in 2018 before he got hurt. He was at a 46.0. 2017, he was at 62.0. So he's not a player that, when he's been on the field, has been very productive I wouldn't say productive because people look at the tackle numbers and say that he had 113 tackles 3 years ago, his last full season. But obviously playing the linebacker position is not just about, you know, racking up the tackles. You have to be able to the cover of tight ends and running backs out of the backfield. And he's given up a career passer rating of 112.8. This past, his last full healthy season was 109.7. So he's been not good in that area. And for an athletic linebacker that's supposed, that doesn't take on blocks very well, you have to be able to cover tight ends and running backs. And he hasn't been able to do that very well. And I think there are a lot of options, either in free agency or Not free agency, there aren't a ton of options, but you can still find some quality players that will at least get you to an average level, and maybe not play, you know, 1,000 snaps, but, you know, play a good 50% of the snaps. And then there are plenty of options in the draft to be able to continue to build that depth. So he's from a leadership standpoint, it's tough to see him go, but you know, the number that he was going to be getting this year, it was going to, he just didn't deserve that number that he was going to be earning.
When you look at it, and I'm talking to John Costco of Pro Football Focus, he's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. One of the couple guys, and you know, we're looking at it, and you know, you might not be after he threw up the crazy 4-3 like we probably knew he would. The stud outside linebacker from Clemson or whatever position he plays. By the way, where do you guys project him at? Is he going to be outside linebacker, the kid from Clemson? Where do you guys project him at best?
Isaiah Simmons, we project him as a do-it-all type player. We don't project him any one position because what he does is that you can move him all over the field. He's been a safety. You know, he played a bunch of snaps at free safety, strong safety, edge defender, linebacker, slot defender. So, like, he's a guy that you don't want to just plug into, you know, all right, he's going to be our will backer, or he's only going to be this role. He's a guy that you have to be able to move all over the place. So we don't project him to – we have him as listed as a linebacker in our – when we list – great, you know, the positions and stuff like that, but he's so much more than just a linebacker.
Am I crazy for thinking that Jalen Hurts might have a better career than Tua?
So it's interesting. Tua, if he's fully healthy, I think will have a better career, but I don't think that it's out of the realm of possibility that Jalen Hurts could have a better career. Hurts has obviously athletic ability. He's got a fine arm. He's got a lot of developing to do. He's a guy that he's a see it, throw it type guy. And especially at Oklahoma, was a guy that had everything, you know, designed up for him and still didn't play as well in that system, like as well as like Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray did. But he's a guy that I think has a high ceiling, but he's also got a low floor. But because of that athleticism, there is a system in place that you can put for him that he can be successful. But he does need grooming and to become that. And I think actually a perfect fit for him might be Kansas City to back up Patrick Mahomes for a number of years and develop that way. And then, you know, after four years, he'd be a really good, maybe even 3 years, be a really good trade bait for the Kansas City Chiefs. But I think he has that ability. But, yeah, I mean, it's all projection. And who knows, right? I don't think you're out of the realm of possibility of thinking.
You know, looking around else around the league, there's a couple guys that I would kind of want to get to. The local kid, Mitch Trubisky with the Bears. I kind of look at him and, kind of one of those things. And the only reason I'm kind of getting to him is because he's one of those things where I think he's the guy with the clock ticking. If he doesn't get it done this year, I think he might be a guy who might be looking for another job somewhere else. What are you guys' thoughts on Mitch Trubisky? And if you were there, would you try to pull the trigger on a trade, maybe go get a Cam Newton? And give me a list of a few guys who you think are on, I guess, guys with some big names that are on a prove it now. Like, you got 1 year to do it. Maybe names that we may have heard of, that maybe top draft picks or guys that we kind of know of, maybe been stars in the league. Quarterbacks that are kind of on the last, I need to see something this year type thing.
Yeah, so with Mitch Trubisky, I think you're exactly right. This is so even when they went to the playoffs 2 years ago, we were saying they're going to miss the playoffs next year because Mitch Trubisky is not playing well. And, you know, we got a whole bunch of criticism and hate from Bears fans about that. And then we saw what happened this year, and he did not perform well again. And that's where our grades come into play with this stuff. You know, he was in that year that they went to the playoffs, his grade was a 63.6. So a lot of that stuff that he was able to do the numbers that he was able to put up were scheme driven, derived, and his playmakers making plays after the catch and all that. And then he graded out as a 64.0 this year. So all of this slightly better, not much better, obviously, but basically about the same. And we saw what happened. They regressed. The defense, you know, went from being the best in the NFL to just a top 10 defense, which is still, you know, good. But when you have everything else go wrong around you and your quarterback is not right, you know, things go wrong. And we saw that happen with Mitch Trubisky. And so you're absolutely right. This is a make or break year. They do need to go out and I think make sure that they fill that need and have somebody in place maybe to back them up. But the problem is the Bears really don't have all that much, in terms of a cap space to be able to address the position, but they have options. You know, they have a team. They have the team around Mitch Trubisky that if he plays at a good level, that they should be Super Bowl contenders. But the problem is that he's not at that level. And if you're looking at players that, you know, across the league that need to really have a make or break type season, I think Derek Carr is in that realm of possibility where he's been solid to good, but he's not elevated that talent on that team. So he's a guy that I think, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with that because obviously they're looking at Tom Brady and whatnot, but he's a guy that's on the hot seat. I think Matthew Stafford is another one that's on the hot seat as well, even though they just gave him a big time extension. He's going to earn like $30-some million a year for this year. But moving forward, I think there's a lot of question marks around him, even though he's been a really good player throughout his career, and he's just never been able to you know, show it in the moment or just to elevate that team even further. I think a guy like Sam Darnold has a make or break year coming up too, because obviously he was the number 3 overall pick a couple years ago. He's not had a good situation around him, but he also hasn't done much to elevate that situation either. So it'll be interesting to see what, you know, from the quarterback position, how it all shakes out in this offseason and then how these players play next year.